everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by the stars of Showtime's steamy new series Submission, Ashlyn Yenny and Skin Diamond. We're getting into kinky sex, fantasies, and the culture of BDSM. They're going to be sharing their experience both on screen and off. So what's in a name? It's not often you can look at a product's name and know exactly what you're getting. Then along came the Rabbit Company. The Rabbit Company is focused on one thing: pleasing you with their selection of high-quality rabbit vibrators. One visit to therabbitcompany.com, you'll see what I'm talking about. They've got a perfect collection of rabbit vibes in a variety of shapes and sizes. Whether you're looking to try your first rabbit or your 21st, the Rabbit Company has a model for you. You've never seen so many rabbits. And just like the company, each vibe has a descriptive name so you know exactly what you're getting. There's the classic, the rotating, the beaded, the G-spot, and my personal favorite, the come hither. It uses the motion like you'd use with your finger to wave someone over or when you're trying to find your G-spot. And everyone on my team, they're all in love with the rabbit ears. It's the perfect little clitoral stimulator. Every Rabbit Company vibe features easy-to-use controls, highest quality materials, and a 5-year warranty. To see what I'm raving about, go to sexwithemily.com and click on the Rabbit Company banner. Use code Emily at checkout for a special discount. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can listen to all of our podcasts and subscribe. Like, the second you get there and you're like reading an article about like how to go down on her, be like, oh, I should subscribe. This site's really cool and I can listen to 2 shows a week. And also, thanks for following us on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Sex with Emily, and Snapchat's at Sex with Emily, and God, Facebook.com/Sex with Emily. I love you all. Thanks for listening. I'm here with Menace.
What's going on, Emily?
How are you doing today?
Well, good, good.
Hi, welcome to our new studio.
I know.
I got chills and stuff.
We put together a new studio in Los Angeles and
West Hollywood.
WeHo.
WeHo, yo.
That's crazy.
Thank you. And thank you
for
everything.
So, okay, here's the thing. How have you been in your personal life, though?
Oh, my personal life has been really, I have to say, it's been good. I actually had a date with someone that I met in San Francisco.
Oh, I knew it.
But that's all I'm going to say about this for now. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely going to be more on the next show, I promise, because there's something more urgently I have to, more urgent at this moment. There's something more urgent I need to share. Though my sex life is always important. We have 2 really hot guests on the show today. And I know oftentimes, like, Menace, the way we do this, he'll show up. I'm like, oh, these, you don't, you know, you're not often briefed or whatever. We need to tell you a little bit about them. But you know about 50 Shades of Grey, the movie, the whole thing. Well, this is this new TV show called Submission that's coming on. It just came out on Showtime. There's been like a few episodes. And they're saying it's like the real 50 Shades of Grey. Like, it shows how it's like truly like a better version of it because it shows all sides and why women really desire it. And it's hot and sexy and it's kind of like softcore on Showtime. So we got 2 episodes to watch ahead of time. And Skin Diamond's here, and the other star. She's been on the show before. She's a porn star. And they gave us the access code to 2 shows. So, of course, today, I'm like, you know, I watched one last night. And then today, I was like, I got to go home and lunch. Anyway, I'm going to watch the other half hour. And it's hot, right? I saw the first one. So I'm in my house, getting ready, showering, multitasking. And I have my phone because I forget my laptop in the office, watching this really hot sex scene. So I'm in the bathroom. I'm like, watching. I'm like, wow, it's really hot. And all of a sudden, I hear this buzzing because I always get like, I always let bugs into my house.
Yeah.
By mistake, I leave the door open a lot because the I just think it's California. Nice, it's nice, but you're like, whatever. But then every night, it's like a moth or a bee, but nothing's ever happened. They go away. So I'm sitting here, I hear a bee. I'm like, no big deal. Buzzing. So I get so caught up in this hot sex scene where this woman's having a fantasy, but it's actually real life where these 2 guys are going down on her. It's like her husband and they're his best friend. And all of a sudden, I realize the buzzing gets louder. It's in my ear. There's a bee in my ear, and I'm completely distracted because I'm so turned on by this hot show.
There was a bee in your ear.
And I've never been stung by a bee, and I'm very actually afraid of bees, like afraid of getting stung. And in this moment, I was so distracted by sex that I almost got stung. And I thought that was interesting testament to that I was really into this fucking hot show.
Escape death. Hopefully you let the bee free though, right? The bee
I stomped it. Actually, it was dead. It was dying. It was a dying bee.
Bees are in danger right now.
Here's the thing. I always allow bugs into my house.
To survive.
No. It was it was a half dead bee because I certainly did not kill it because it was in my hair, caught up in my hair.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing. Watching porn, hair. Getting bees in my hair. I've redone my whole house in the new office. Things are good. I've moved it around so it makes more sense in my life. And, things are good.
That's
how are you?
Super good. I'm great. I've been doing all these charity events with the Habit Burger.
I know.
Food chain. And they've been amazing. And we raised a bunch of money for Hope for Paws, which is a great organization for animals. And then we just did another one in Long Beach for lymphoma research. And so they've been great. And so we have one more tomorrow in Garden Grove, California with the Habit Burger. And this time we're raising money for Parkinson's research. So if anybody is into that, you're in the area, all the details are at lunchwithwoody.com. I'm part of the show called The Woody Show.
Well, I'm really proud of you, Menace, because I know you. You've got a lot of stuff going on, and you're not often you bring up things casually. What's your Instagram? And you're not push it. Mm-hmm. This is our own thing here. But I felt that when you did your first one last week, a few weeks ago, you did your first
charity event.
Yeah. And it was you were talking about it really passionately. This means a lot. And I want. Yeah. And I was you guys go out and support Menace, and everyone should. Although I didn't.
Yeah. But
it
no, was out of the city.
It was far away.
Yeah.
But 20 minutes. But then I saw your Snapchat, which you're really good at Snapchat.
Thank you.
And I was wow, there's a lot of people there. Menace, is he calling people hey, come in the picture, because a lot of people came out to see me and eat a burger. And it was crowds. I'm maybe there's something else going on. And then I saw you the other day, and you're there were 700 people that came out to see you.
Yeah.
At an event. And I'm not saying that's, I know you're suited.
No.
But I was that's I had an event, sometimes two people show up. And it's fine. I'm just so grateful they're there.
No.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, the show, the radio
people
show.
People love you.
In the morning.
They love this guy.
Okay. Really successful in Los Angeles, and I thank everybody for that. But if you can please come out.
He's come to the next one.
That's great.
I'm just saying that I had a heartfelt moment to you and that you're doing great work and the show's really good and people love you. And I feel like I was the first who really knew I loved you. And now everyone's realizing how great you are to hang out with an Emperor.
Thank you so much. That's
a deal. Oh, okay. So here's the deal. We got to start talking to our guests who just joined us here. So thank you. We're going to get into that in a moment. But when we have guests on the podcast, Menace, this is part of things that you don't know.
Uh-huh.
I know you know a lot of things that go on, but we send them a form to fill out. And one of the questions is,
they hate me. Do you have it?
There was do it if Menace isn't there. And actually, there's a box that says, Menace? Yes, no.
Yeah. I delete anybody sends me an email. No,
I'm kidding. We don't send these. This is just put your name, address, what's your picture, what's your Twitter.
Yeah.
So one of the questions is any topic off limits? And that's how we figure out what not to ask them, right? Because we're polite. So Skin said there was no questions off limits, except we cannot do a Game of Thrones spoiler, which I thought was funny. Of all the things you could talk to her about, not that. So we found a Sex in the News story just about this topic, but we will not spoil it. Woman seeks Game of Thrones revenge on ex. So scorned ex-lovers often turn to the internet in the wake of a bad breakup. They trash each other. They do bad things, right? They desperately seek sympathy or vengeance and some combination of the two. There's even a whole genre of revenge porn just for this reason. But this week, one man's sad attempt to garner support for his newly single plight backfired in viral fashion, and for good reason. So the Reddit user, this guy who scorned, Khaleesi Scorned, he's 29. He took the social network Reddit to share a problem he's been having since ending things with his lady love, whom he refers to as Danny. It's an alias. I could provide the short version, but here we go. He does it in the post. I cheated on my ex during our relationship, and she found out shortly after we broke up. She's blocked me in everything, but briefly unblocks me every Monday to send me Game of Thrones spoilers before I can watch. How can I get her to stop? She is torturing him.
Yeah.
Literally torturing. She's like, you're blocked. Oop, guess what? Nope, you're not. This is what happened.
Why is he still following her anyways?
Well, no, but she blocks him.
That's stupid.
So in the course of his cry for help, he admits that he did have a lot of jealousy issues because she had so many male friends and had slept with a lot of guys. And but this would not hold up in a court of law. But he indicates that there was a direct link between his wandering eye and his ex's promiscuity. Mm-hmm. So he shared that she got him hooked on the series. But when he travels abroad, it was hard to get a reliable stream. So, since publishing the story, the tables have turned, with Dani being heralded on social media as a heroine and generally applauded as a modern-day feminist icon.
What?
Well, because she's like, you know, hey, dude, guess what? This is how I'm really going to burn you, okay? Mm-hmm. The rent is personal skin. What would you do if someone did this to you? Would this be the worst thing a guy's ever done to you? Or a woman? Or anyone?
I would, well, see, I would just block the person. Right. So that I couldn't.
But she, that's true. Yeah. He probably doesn't understand two-way blocking, because that's what I said. I was like, just block her back, because she blocks him. And then,
I mean, if she's a real internet troll, she's making multiple accounts to like tweet him.
She keeps doing it. Yeah. Right.
But
it's kind of ugly. You can't stop it. Or she'll have her friend do it, who's friends with them on Facebook. Yeah. Like, if there's no end, she can get in. I love her too. So anyway, we thought about you for that.
Stay off the internet or just watch it.
People are so revengeful. You know, revengeful though. Like, I've never, I mean, if you, okay. So, let's say hello to both of our guests, Ashlyn Yenny and Skin Diamond. Thank you for joining us. Have you ever done anything that's like vengeful when you've been dating someone? Have you ever been like, oh, I'm mad, or had anyone do something to you? I was just curious.
I find, for me, the best revenge is to pretend that they don't exist anymore, because that, the one thing that will drive someone completely insane is to just ignore them, and then like, mm-hmm. even no matter what they do,
it's true.
Just be like, eh, doesn't bother me, sorry, and then that'll drive them real mm-hmm. crazy. That's what I do.
I agree that is the very best, like, because and it's so hard for people to do. Ashlyn, yeah. What about you?
I did get revenge on one guy in particular, in a way that it bothered him a lot, because he knew it was about him. So a few years ago, I wrote and produced a short film, and I made this character based off of him and this one night and what he did to me. And it was, he's such a piece of shit. He's right. Just such a douche. He was such a douche, like making me go from Uber to a gay nightclub and telling me he was there and he wasn't there. And then making me go to another bar telling me he was there, he wasn't there. And then finally when I got to the bar where he finally was.
Look at Skin's face. She's what? Like disgusted. I
so
get it.
When I get to the bar where I finally see him, he's like, oh, hey, like acting like a douchebag, of course.
Like nothing happened.
And it had rained like the two times it rains in LA, you know. And I have curly hair, so it was up. It was not a night for down hair, you know. And he's like, you need to take your hair down. And I'm like, no, it gets better. I was like, I'm not taking my hair down. And he was like, mind you, he was in the business, so he was right. The manager. And so then he was like, well, you're talking to a really big director right now. You need to take your hair down. And I was like, I'm not taking my hair down. And he takes his heel, stamps on my foot really, really hard, and then grabs my ponytail to pull my hair out. And I was like, so embarrassed. I was like, are you kidding me? This is not real. None of this is real.
Oh my God.
So then I was like, I need to write this short film. And I was like really excited to write this character. And I just, my writing partner at the time, we were like, how are we going to make this guy horrendous? And I was like, I got the story. Got it. Don't even have to make it up.
Right. You're like, this just happened to me. Yeah. These kind of guys exist. So break it down. Seen like, it. And then he did that.
And I love telling people, I'm like, no, that's based off a real person. That person exists in life.
Had you been dating him when all those things happened up until that point?
I mean, like we'd only been seeing each other for like a month. Oh, it was very new.
I love when guys are assholes. At least they're doing you a favor when they're assholes in the beginning.
You're like,
I didn't spend 2 years with them. But one thing back to what you were saying, Skin, like, that is true, that it's, well, that's great. You got good art.
No. See, I wish I could do that.
I get great art. No, my whole show, like, I tell stories. It helps. It's like life. But I also think that I've recently gone through breakup. And the hard thing is, and I'm trying to, like, just really, not like even Bert, pretend they don't exist, and like how you really have to do that, and you're so right.
It's
about
super
breakup.
Hard.
It is so hard, because now they actually do exist, because you're friends with them on Facebook and they're everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Instagram. And you could, yes, you could be smart, you could be strong and like block. Sometimes you don't want to block, you still kind of want to stalk. But that, I'm being honest, I've had like the refresh. Oh, yeah. It's terrible. Have you guys ever done that when you're like trying not to? Okay, I don't do it.
I stopped
last week.
I don't do it either.
Right.
But
when you finally get to that
point, we're curious people by nature.
Because my advice is always, you know, take 6 months off from talking to someone. Like, block them, you know, don't just have no contact. And that's when you can, you know, heal. Like, and I've always told people, do your work around this and like figure out who you are, what your part in the relationship was. But a lot of times we're just like, you know, like, who's she? Who's that bitch? She's with on Instagram or whatever. So, but it is true, going back to the best thing is just to like cut them. And I've learned that later in life, that I should actually listen to my lessons, but it does help. If you know someone's a douchebag, you cut them.
Or therapeutic, you write a story about them.
Or you write a story.
And then
But you already hate it, right?
Oh yeah, and then you tell everyone the story later in life.
That's a great, I love that.
That's a really good way to get revenge. Because I wish I could be more like.
Oh, and he had no idea.
Oh, he didn't even know.
He saw the short film, and it would never occur to him that it was him.
He didn't even know.
You know what I mean? Like he's like, oh, that's great. I'm like, you.
That's how big a douchebag.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
The bigger the douchebag. They literally, he wouldn't
the more
even, like,
oblivious they
more
are.
More oblivious. Yeah. It's like mm-hmm. everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the people who are not self-seekers and they're not figuring themselves out. So they're great. Because I've had guys in the show like, that was really cool. I'm like, I really just talked about how you never went down on me once for a month and that you were a cheap-ass bastard. But you, your ego, like that I talked about that, you.
Exactly.
So that's cool. Yeah. Anyway, so have fun. Hi, Menace.
Hi.
Hi, please meet Ashlyn and Skin. Are you having
I know.
A good time?
I've been here, yeah. I was going to share my story. I think the only thing that I did revenge-wise... when I was doing a morning radio show in San Francisco, I was dating this girl, and I think I was like on the top of the world. I was like, oh, this girl's awesome, blah, blah, blah. And one day we go to Old Navy, and we're at the Old Navy, and we're just like walking around on Market Street, whatever. And she sees this guy that she went to high school with, right? And so I guess this is the guy that she had a crush on in high school, or whatever. So then they end up start talking when I didn't know. And then like they're texting, blah, blah, blah. So she wants to break up with me to get with this guy. And I could just tell, you can just, some people, they just suffer from douche face.
Right.
So you know, like automatically, like this is a douchey person, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's no way this guy is cool. But she ends up like breaking up with me and getting with this guy. And I happen to be in a nightclub, and I'm in the VIP area. So I'm looking down at the general area, whatever, and he's there with some other girl making out with her.
No.
So I hit her up, and I don't even tell her. I was like, hey, I'm at this club, blah, blah, blah. You should roll through because we're still cool. And I take her up to the VIP. I was like, oh, hey, by the way, there's your boy down there. And then
no way.
She like got super mad and went down there, and then I was like, yeah, we can't never get back together, but
good.
I'm just saying, you know?
I feel like that's
like
not
that's
even
an act of service.
That's not even like a venture hero.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of, you know,
I love it.
He's like salt in the dude's game, whatever. But, you know.
I got
love
it,
though.
I don't know. I'm sure I've done things. People,
but it was pretty awesome how it all came
together. That's awesome. You're like, this guy's a douchebag, so, and you should know he's a douchebag, and a lot of them are. That's what happens. I just don't really like that word today. I'm trying to think if I've ever done anything. I'm sure I have. Mostly people get mad at me, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I think it's like 99% of the time they're mad at you. I don't see you being getting revenge on anybody.
No, I'm too like, oh, I'm so sorry. It didn't work.
See you later. Bye.
I'll think about
something. We'll still go on vacation together.
Yeah, like I'm friends with all my exes. Menace.
All her exes she goes on vacation with their current girlfriend.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's
like,
so
all
weird.
San Francisco. Yeah. Like, I moved here. Okay, so now this is so different. But I was there for 20 years, moved here a few years ago. And I'm not, we're so different. But Sam, I don't know, my friends are just more, I don't know, open. And that we're all really cool with it. And that if you date someone for a while and you actually really like them, then you know, you can hang out. What's the big thing, right?
I don't think there's anything wrong being friends with your
exes. Like, if you can still be emotional, we don't want to sex anymore.
These guys,
it's been so long.
Yeah,
if she truly knows me, we love each other.
I think these guys secretly want a threesome or they're just backburning you just in case it doesn't work out with their current.
We'll find
girlfriend.
Out. Who knows?
We'll
maybe
see
it's
what
me,
happens.
But like, I don't think like that. I think you are someone who's valuable in my life and, you know, this is what happens. But, okay, now we're going to give a little shout out to our sponsors. Let's give them some love. Okay, guys, it's time to talk about what's in your pants. And for once, I'm not talking about your penis. I'm talking about your underwear. Think about it. It doesn't matter if you're wearing a suit or sweats. You spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear. Not only that, on some of those days, someone else might see you in your underwear. So obviously, you want a pair that makes you feel comfortable and confident. For me, this has been a challenge. Well, until now. Have you tried MeUndies? They are seriously so stylish and soft. Mandis, you love MeUndies.
I love MeUndies. It's been,
you told me about them first.
Yeah, I've been using them for quite a while now. Everybody on the Woody Show, the other show that I do, we all have them, love them. It's made out of material called Modal. It's softer than cotton. it, what's great about it is too, is like, if you buy it and you don't like your MeUndies, they give it to you for free. But what? That's not going to happen, because no. I'm telling you, I know we're talking about underwear here and you're thinking, okay, underwear, I'll just go pick that up at some random store. But I'm telling you, once it, I actually sleep better at night wearing MeUndies. Yeah. And I'm no bullish right now. I'm telling you.
No, it kind of became like my security blanket, like my comfy, mm-hmm. like I come home and I'm like putting on the MeUndies and the Uggs. That's all I do. That's all I wear. I love that you love them too. They are really called the world's most comfortable underwear, and it's true. MeUndies has so many styles for men and women and limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear, whether anyone can see them or not. And like Men said, if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free. No questions asked. They don't make you send them back. Nothing like that. But you won't.
But that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen, because you're going to be obsessed. Right now, Sex with Emily listeners can save 20% off your first order. Shipping's free in the U.S. and Canada. And you save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. Just go to MeUndies.com/Emily to save 20%. That's MeUndies.com/Emily. Okay, everyone, welcome back to the show. Okay, let's talk to our guests. Welcome our guests. On today's show, I'm joined by the two stars of the hot new Showtime series Submission, Ashlyn Yenny and Skin Diamond. So I talked about Submission earlier in the show. You guys missed this. I almost got stung by a bee actually watching the show. It's Showtime's new, because I was so friggin' turned on that I didn't know that a bee was in my ear.
Oh.
It's Showtime's newest late night series about kink, exploring your fantasies, and of course BDSM, written and directed by adult filmmaker Jackie St. James. Taps into the 50 Shades of Grey market, but it takes a step further into a more realistic portrayal of the BDSM community. And cool. I'm here with Ashlyn and Skin.
So it's actually a scripted show.
It is.
Yes. Okay, cool. Because I was thinking, I was like, is this a reality show or
no?
No. Mm-hmm. So totally scripted. No, that's
it's
cool.
Scripted. It kind of reminded me of The L Word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do people say that? I love The L Word.
A little bit.
Yeah, some people have said that. Yeah.
The L Word, or definitely 50 Shades, or it reminds me a little bit of Sex and the City, in that it kind of revolves around three women, mm-hmm. and they're all so different. It's like the different personality types that are involved in the world of BDSM.
Yeah, that's cool.
I can't even think of anything that's been like that.
There isn't, that's why.
It's not.
Yeah. This is why.
And you're on a great network, Showtime, which has been killing it lately.
Yeah, you guys are killing it. I mean, I thought it was great. So let me just tell you a little bit here, some background. Ashlyn, actress, and you may remember from the cult horror film franchise, The Human Centipede 1 and 2. Manus, do you see Human Centipede?
Unfortunately, yes.
People are obsessed. Right. Okay.
I did not see the second
she's
one.
She's also starred in a bunch of indie films, TV roles, and now she's playing this shy yet sexually curious. I love your role. Ashlyn in Submission, which she's going to tell us about, and Skin Diamond, welcome back to the show. Award-winning adult film star and one of the best known, and everyone I talk to, literally, they're obsessed with you. So it was funny, because last time you were on the show, I had the assistant. It was like 2 years ago. Lovely girl. But she often didn't show up sometimes for things, like shows, when she needed to. But then she was like, when's Skin coming? Skin coming? I'm going to be there. And she loved you. And she's obsessed. She's awesome. I'm just saying. Like, and everywhere I go, though, like, you're like, you had a very, like, sharp, direct rise to, like, start, you know, fame.
Thank
in
you.
That world.
I just like what I do, I guess.
It's good. It's good. It's fun. I love that you, because Ashlyn, this is your first kind of sexy role. Mm-hmm. And now you're working on your next passion project. Mm-hmm. Which is songwriting?
Yes.
You're going to sing now and do that too? And porn and act?
Yeah. I just started writing lyrics and writing melodies. And I just released my first single a few days ago. And I'll be releasing more videos in the next month. Lots of surprises.
Oh, my God. So where can you just people can find it? Where?
Yeah, you can find it. The music video is up on YouTube, and you can find the song on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio.
Cool. Love it.
It's called Fire. You should listen
Fire.
To it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Fire. So tell me about Submission in your own words. How would you guys talk about it?
No one's ever asked me that question. It's so interesting.
Well, like, what's your perspective on it? Like, what got you interested in doing the show? That's kind of like the real 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, well.
More realistic, okay. I'd say.
Well, when 50 Shades came out, for me personally, I was not a fan at all, because it was a very bad portrayal of the BDSM world, which is a world that I've been so heavily involved in for so many years. So it was kind of like almost like a personal insult.
like, what is this? So when Jackie St. James approached me about this project, I was immediately like, yes, because, sorry, I just slammed my fist on the table.
So excited.
I was immediately on board because I think it's really important to show of this world from a good perspective, from a perspective that embraces it and isn't trying to shock people, even though the acts themselves are shocking. It's like
so the problem with 50 Shades of Grey is more like people are like, first of all, just that they're watching a film about it, like BDS, I just don't get it. It was confusing to them what it meant.
Well, the problem with 50 Shades is it wasn't consensual BDSM at all. And with BDSM, the number one rule is consent. Yeah. So that right there kind of just warped the entire idea of it.
Right.
And it portrayed women who are into BDSM as these frail little, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, but okay, I'll get tied up, but I don't really like it. But that, and that's not exactly what BDSM mm-hmm. is. Like, a true submissive is like, yeah, slap me in the face. Yeah, that's awesome. No, do it harder. You know, and it's not like a lot of submissive women who like really heavy play are very strong women, and that's why they know what they want, and they know that that's what they like, and they end up being power bottoms in that way.
It seems that there's more women into this than men, at least from what I see.
There's a lot of men that are submissives as
but
well.
But they don't put it out there
no.
like women do?
Not as much. Probably. Yeah. They do exist, of course.
Yeah, I think it's more kept under the rug from, well, maybe not all the time, but because a lot of men that are into very heavy play are like, you know, politicians or, you know, lawyer yeah. people that if you were to find out about them, it would be very bad.
Yeah.
So a lot of people keep it under the
That's
under
the rug thing. And it I gotta admit, the stereotype, a lot of men I know who are into it are more of that, like, businessman in control, like, yeah. has so much money, but, like, wants to be dominated, you know, wants mm-hmm. to be dominated in, like, in a diaper and, you know,
yeah.
spanked.
Yeah.
And no judgment. At least he knows.
Yeah. On the morning show that I'm part of, one of our guys just went to DomCon and did a bunch of interviews. And then the stuff that they're coming back with is just, like, it's crazy what people are really because you mentioned the diaper stuff, and it's just like,
oh yeah,
it was that on another level.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, and that's exactly what the show is trying to do is like, for instance, like depicted in this way where it's not crazy, where mm-hmm. A lot of people are into this, and it's not supposed to be this like, oh, well, they're freaks or they're weird or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of us. Everyone is a freak. Everyone has a weird side to them. Mm-hmm. Every single person does. Mm. And so I think Jackie, when she saw 50 Shades, she read the books, she was grossed out. She was like, this is not the right portrayal of this at all. So she took on a very huge feat in, you know, wanting to create a series. And she wrote every episode herself. I mean, mm-hmm. it's 180 pages of, you know, basically dialogue with sex scenes thrown in.
Three
sex scenes per episode.
They're hot. So here's the thing, is that what I think, I agree with you on all the things you said about 50 Shades. My whole thing was, yeah, there's a lot of problems you can have with it, but what I do like is it started a national dialogue and it got a lot of women
exactly.
who never mm-hmm. ever, you know, mm-hmm. read anything like this, thought, oh wow, this speaks to me on a deeper level. Like, do I really want that? You know, no, you probably might not want a Red Room Pain, but you're in the Midwest. I'm from Michigan, so I can say you're like probably like a married mom in the Midwest. You're not liking sex with your husband, and you know, you're not turned on anymore. You don't know why, and you're thinking, wow, to be taken. Nothing spoken to me on this level, and maybe it spiced up her relationship with her.
Maybe it gave you the confidence to actually talk about stuff
exactly
that you wanted
that she
and
never did
that
before.
Stuff.
So that was the thing I like. But what I
yeah,
what
I
thought
agree
was,
with you on that.
So that was the only thing, one of the only things. But what I think is interesting, what is confusing, what I like about your show Submission is that the other thing that's missing for people, they're like, they don't even get the they don't even get why women, how pain can feel pleasurable. Mm-hmm. Like the basics, but it's like, that must just be pain, and she's grinning. Mm-hmm. Can you like kind of speak? Because I know, Skin, you've also had experience in your real life BDSM,
mm-hmm.
and maybe now Ashlyn too. I'm not sure.
Well,
I don't want to make assumptions.
Well, we did because we had a BDSM consultant on set as well as Skin. So Skin was very important to me as as me portraying Ashley, because she helped guide me along with how I developed the character Ashley, because she's this girl who basically is like most people. She doesn't really know what she's in a you know, a relationship where she's basically having bad sex and realizes, you know what, I don't want this anymore. And she doesn't go seeking BDSM. It just happens to kind of fall into her lap, and then she becomes interested in it. And then she chooses to go into it. She makes the choice herself. She wants to do this.
Because she's the same kind of thing, though. She picks up a book called Slave. It's kind of like, it's great. So I'll go back. We'll get more into BDSM, because I love that you brought this up, because this is how it opens Menace. It's the best scene. This is why I love this, because it opens up. Ashlyn's having sex. She's like, nice, looks like a nice, you know, nice.
Normal
Midwestern girl. And her boyfriend's like pounding her from behind, right? Like, not in like an aggressive, she's just like, and she's like the boredest look on her face. She's like, did my shopping cart on Amazon still open? Did I order those shoes yet?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just so bored, right? Mm-hmm. He's pounding. And then, and you're just like, you know, and all of a sudden he just comes, you're like, you roll over. And then you guys get in this fight. Mm-hmm. And you have this fight that I've heard so many times by like listeners, callers. And that is, you're like, I can't orgasm during penetration alone. Yeah. And he's like, well, all the women I've dated before have. And the woman's like, groveling, lying, faking. Yeah. And then, and you're like, I can't do it. You're like, I mean, I still enjoy it. You're like, I need foreplay. And it's like, end scene, they break up. Which, you know, these are the basic tenets of what we... Not that everybody needs to
we hear about that all the time.
Right? So I love that in like the first 3 minutes, I'm like, yes.
Yes. It's so relatable. Feel like
that part of it is so relatable. And it just hits speak home. To so many women. I was like, that was the perfect.
Yep.
And then cut to 3 minutes later, you're like watching Skin get banged by her boss at work, which was awesome and hot.
So
and you're
hot.
Watching her. So that was your first. So you took on that role as a newbie exploring that world.
Yeah.
And had you. So, okay. So tell me about now. I want to get into like making of the show. So did you open up sexually in a way, or
it definitely changed. I mean, the whole show definitely changed, I think, a lot of us, our perception of what BDSM was, because honestly, when I went in for it, I had no idea what it was. Like, I had reservations about even auditioning for the show, because I actually went and my first audition was for the character of Jules. It wasn't for Ashley.
Okay.
And then Jackie and Paul asked me to come in and read for Ashley, and I was like, I can't do this is way too much. Like, I didn't even know the extent of what she was going to go through, but I was just like, I don't know if I could play the girl who gets into BDSM. I'm like, I don't know if I can actually do that as an actor. And then I was like, but you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna try. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then I went in, and you know, Jackie wrote me a list, and it was like 34 very specific things I was going to have to do. And mind you, like 30 of them I'd never done before, you know. And a couple of them, there's one thing in particular that's never been shown on TV, which you're going to see, I think, in episode 5. It's super interesting. But also just like the being restrained for however long it is. But it's also filming, so it's not...
What do you mean you're being restrained? That's never been seen before.
No, that's not what... the thing that that's never been shown on TV before, that's something completely different.
Oh, okay.
But as well as being like restrained and, you know, flogged or whatever it is, or vibrated, or you know, blindfolded, all of that stuff, I did do all of that, but it's fake, it's tricked out, so it's not actually
in the scene, right?
In the scene. So,
but did you have to prepare?
Yes.
Did you go have an experience with like that?
Well, kind of, yeah, I mean,
BDSM experience, dominatrix.
I just did a ton of research.
But like, I would think you have to no, but come on. You could read about it. I could tell everyone how to do it right now.
You
but
want me to give away all my secrets?
Method acting? Okay. Got it. So you learned.
I learned a lot about it. And I learned that there are things that, you know, I wrote this in an article that's going to come out on Saturday. But I personally, Ashlyn, don't like being restrained. I don't like being held down. Like, that's not my thing. I'm not. It doesn't do anything for me. But Ashley, on the other hand, she does like that. So as an actor, having to play that...
Ashley's the role, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So having to play that character and be okay...
You do have to look in psychology. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. So it's like, it's almost like... But as I was playing her, I remember the first time they restrained me, I was like, this is her. This is when I realized, I was like, okay, this girl, this is going to be amazing. Because I dipped into her exact psyche at that moment. and I could go in and out of it, you know.
Right, but it wasn't really turn you on though in the moment. Right? What about you? Like, okay, so because Skid, you have experienced adult film. Mm-hmm. How were you turned on during your scenes? Was it really like, or was it more because it's script? I don't. Not that porn isn't scripted as well, but it's a little different kind of script.
Well, it was interesting for me. Of course it's scripted, so it's hard to like, you know, you're going to be cutting every once in a while, but I was just really trying to be true to like myself as a submissive, because I have been a service slave to a master in real life, not off camera, okay, before. So that I use that as an opportunity to really help guide Ashlyn with, mm-hmm, her character, okay, as well, to try to help her get into the psyche.
That's great. Like, so you were there for her to like say, explain to, mm-hmm, what's going through your mind, Skin, when you're in one of these.
Yeah, I mean,
that's amazing.
We have a scene together.
Yeah,
I didn't get there yet. I'm like, oh, I know they're gonna hook up, but I didn't see it yet. They only show me two
spoilers.
Spoilers.
You guys have to show. Yeah,
we won't give anything away. Okay, but it was definitely this. And mind you, we had to reshoot it. So yeah. We did it a few times. Yeah. But it's one of those things where it was because of her experience that she was the best person, honestly. And Jackie was the best person to direct, because as just an actor coming in, you know, they call us civilians coming, yeah, in for, right, this, you know, I was guided in the best possible way I could be, mm, you know.
And really it was really fun because it was nice for me as such a big advocate for the world of BDSM to show people who were new to it, like, this is what it's really like. Mm-hmm. Like, DOMs aren't just throwing you and leaving you in a corner and not caring about your well-being at all. Like, it's, there's a lot of, are you okay? Does this hurt? Is this too much? Should I pull back? Do you want me to keep going? Like, there's a lot of talk going on.
And that's what you feel like is missed. So you feel like this corrects it. Submission shows the kind of a more realistic portrayal of BDSM.
Yeah, it shows that there's a lot of different levels. Like, for example, my character, she's submissive, but she's very fiery. Like, she has she's actually very dominant, but she likes to be submissive. And so I think it's important to show the different ranges. Yes, you get the submissive girls like the character Ashley, who's, you know, she's never done this before and she's, you know, more innocent. And then you get the submissives that are like, I know exactly what I'm doing and I'm going to go out and get exactly what I want. And then you better hit me hard because that's what I like. And that's what Dylan is. She's, mm-hmm, the opposite end of the spectrum.
Okay. Got it. Menace, do you have any questions here about the BDSM world? You look either you're really attentive or.
I do have some questions about the show. So, real quick, with you, mm-hmm, how did your family, when they saw the first episode, what was their reaction?
My family hasn't seen the show yet.
Oh, they haven't?
No.
It just came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Or you don't want them to see it.
Well, I don't think they're
going to. You blocked them on Facebook. Uh-huh.
Yeah, no. I mean, my family's, I have an amazing family. But it's the same thing as like the Human Centipede films. Like, they just didn't, mm-hmm, it's not their thing, you know? Yeah. And I think
they watch and support though?
Oh yeah. Well, my mom and Nana came with me to the Human Centipede 2 premiere, which, uh-huh, I thought was really like such badasses, you know, uh-huh, like my 80-year-old grandma's sitting next to me watching, yeah, you know, this is really cool stuff. But as far as this show, I think my grandparents have seen it and, mm, then, but my mom and dad haven't watched it, which is like completely fine. Honestly, I don't really, mm, care if they watch it or not. It's not,
yeah,
made for them, you know. If I made movies for them, right, they'd be Hallmark. Yeah, so but they're very supportive. I mean, like anything, they're like, whatever choices I take in life as an actor, and this is for anybody, mm-hmm, it's like, I want to play these characters and there's a reason why I wanted to play Ashley,
right,
and to tell a truthful story. So it's cool. Yeah, cool.
Okay, now Skin, my question, last time you were on the show we talked about you're bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming, are you dating now? Or are you? I don't know where you're at now.
Well,
I haven't seen you in 2 years.
I know it's been a while. I think the last time I came on the show, I had a girlfriend, mm-hmm, but now I have a boyfriend.
Okay,
so,
see, that's why you got to ask. Yeah. And how's that? Is it monogamous?
It's mostly monogamous, but we like to bring people in.
Girls, mostly.
Yeah, but he actually is the man behind a lot of the music that I've been making.
Oh, so I love this. So he's inspiring you. And, mm-hmm, you're inspiring him, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I love creative relationships like that.
Yeah, it's nice being able to do something besides just bang.
Besides just bang, but you're really good at it. You're really sexy. There's a scene in there. You'll love this. where Dylan, Skin's character, goes to the bathroom and has, there's a woman at the coffee shop just like with her boyfriend who looks super bored. I love that all the women are like super annoyed with their boyfriends who are just like boring, bad in bed.
I know.
Not that all guys are like that, but I can relate. And then you like give her these looks over the counter, and next thing you know, they're in the bathroom having sex with Skin and this girl, and she takes her Crave Vesper necklace around her neck, and she uses a vibrator, and it's like the hottest scene. I'm like, great, she has a Vesper on her neck. It was really hot. Turns out it was the Vesper I gave to her last time she was on the show. The vibrating, hot, sexy necklace. But the scene was so hot.
Yeah.
You should see her.
You're like
chicks.
A prop person.
I know. I should come. I'm like, oh my God.
You're
that
a prop master.
I'm so honored. Well, when I was so turned on. That was maybe when I got stung by the bee.
Yeah.
Anyway, almost.
Well, it was really cool when I knew about this scene and what was going to happen. I already had the necklace, and I approached Bo about it, the DP, and I was like, you know, I have this vibrator necklace. I feel like Dylan would totally
Dylan
have
so
this.
Weird.
Like, Dylan's a freak, so of course she has it. And then it was a fun little...
That's so fun.
Something that
it.
Nobody's
it's
seen
sexy
before.
Scene. I mean, that was a sexy scene.
With Dom stuff... Sorry, I don't know all the correct terms.
That's okay.
So I don't want
to. Yeah, okay. Yeah. This is why you're like, ask
it's
the questions
2016.
That you
if you say something wrong,
no, we're not going to judge you. But, I think that this is a lot. I want you to ask what guys are thinking.
No. Something also I noticed when we go out and interview people that I've noticed in that realm is this whole new pup play. There's like pup masks and stuff like that.
Puppy play. There's also piggy play.
Is that like
pony
new
play.
Or is that how it's always been around?
My personal favorite is kitty play.
Okay.
But
has it been
around for a while. It's a lot of the times it's specifically puppy play and piggy play. It's usually meant to be a kind of humiliating act because you know, you're kind of like, oh, you're a filthy little piggy, like a pig, you know. It's more, it's seen as more of a like degrading, like people that wanted to feel like, you know, but you can take it to many different levels. I mean, you can take it to any level you want, really. I mean, you could be a piggy, but you could be a boar piggy, and you could be a dominant piggy if you wanted. But I personally like kitty play because it feels more feminine, and like, you know, and cats are bratty, so I feel like that's it. It portrays my character.
You worry about Churro or something?
No. But I just noticed it. I don't know. For some reason, it keeps on popping up every time we go out and go to like a convention like that and interview people. What was the other thing? Oh, the other thing is, have you ever, like, so when somebody is into that, have they ever broken it down to say why they're into it? Because just recently on show that we had Jim Norton. He's a radio host, and he's like, suddenly I'm into feet now, and I don't know why. I want to worship feet, and so anybody that's like into, you know, Dom stuff like that, have they ever broken it down why they're into it, or for some reason they've always just
Dom stuff or the feet stuff
or anything or okay, like so people that want to do pup play, like, do they know why they want to do that, or is it just something?
I think it's just something that a lot of the time just happens. Like, I feel like a lot of the fetishes that I've developed over the years, I didn't know they existed until the idea of it was presented, and then after that I was kind of like, yeah, that for some reason that kind of turns me on, and I don't know why it happens that way. I guess it, but it is an interesting subject to study
because
people like things. You can really learn a lot about people by what their fetishes are, I think.
Because we could never get an answer.
Yeah,
it's really, when it we put it out there. It could be a lot of times from childhood things, or it's because it's presented to you when you're old. You're like, that really turns me on. Like, Ashlyn, like your character in Submission, you read the book, Slave, and then you're like, this might be interesting to me. So a lot of times, a fetish necessarily, but it's something that,
that
like
maybe
opening
you
your mind sexually,
you didn't know existed, and then it's packaged to you in kind of an interesting way. And then I think a lot of people, they kind of fall into this like, well, maybe. And then because I feel like humans, we're so curious by nature. We're curious. We want to know. We want to know about people.
It.
We want to know about people's lives. We want to know everything. You know?
Right.
So when we're given the opportunity to explore, you know, especially what is considered like a taboo subject, and it's in a healthy, consensual way, why not? And then people are like, and then it'll spark on to more other, you know, other things and other things. And exactly. then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I have like 9 fetishes and I had no idea.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
but then to you, that very first one. But then you know, you're not, it's not even a yeah. fetish anymore.
But it's not even a, right. Yeah. And, but using fetish in a way, just maybe it's what turns you on. Yeah. It doesn't have to be mm-hmm. necessarily a fetish if you're
it
into
it. It doesn't. It can just be, mm-hmm. yeah.
But so here's my other thing that like in the, I think it was something like in the book, in The Slave, or one of you like has a line where you're like, you know, he didn't ask for what he wanted. He took it from me, you know. But so there's that whole notion of women want to be taken, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what the people are like, oh, rape, fentanyl. We're not talking about that. Like, we just like want to be desired at this like level that it feels like a man has to have. It's like
exactly.
that's the base level of like the ravishing exactly. and why we want that. And so, well, my first thing is like the psychology behind that, and which is why 50 Shades of Grey spoke to so many women, is because there is this certain sense of like, we just want a man to like take us and rev us. Like, he can't think, he can't eat, he doesn't want yeah. us. And, like, and that is can be a great turn on in like the power play and the mm-hmm. role playing and stuff like that. But
and that's a line from the book,
right?
In the mm-hmm. series,
from the book, right?
And so yeah,
and a lot of I think it's not to be confused with wanting to be controlled
exactly.
in mm-hmm. all aspects of your life. It's right. just when a man is like, I need you so much, I'm gonna take you, and I can't say no to you, or whatever.
Your
like
sexual,
it's almost like, wow, he wants me so much, he's just gonna take it. And mm-hmm. but then, you know, in everyday life, like, I'm the most stubborn person ever, and like, do not tell me what to do.
Don't try to even like order
I won't.
My, yeah. like, order my bread for my coffee for me. Like, mm-hmm. I get it. But in sex, we're talking about that's mm-hmm. what I want to get back to. Is that like it's that, and it's not that everyone wants to even be like, not, you know, wants to be use abuse or use bondage or anything like mm. that. It's more like they just want to be like taken, and so that's
desired.
Like the desire.
Yeah, desired for sure.
Right. They
yeah.
want to be, exactly. They want that desire, and so I think that that's what a lot of people maybe don't make that connection, and even with the BDSM mm-hmm. with the power play, so that is bringing more pain into it. That a lot of it is sort of on that spectrum, and that why it's still confusing to people, like how that feels good. Women, you know, and it's complex, it's psychological, mm-hmm. it feels good, it really does, like on a physical level.
It's very complex. And yeah. again, it's like, you wouldn't want every single guy to do that. It's just like the ones that you are really into, you want them to be that into
exactly.
you.
And you don't, right. Okay, so that was my question for you though, Skin. So you, I know you're in a relationship now, but how would you find those partners, or how would you personally, or would you suggest, if there's women listening who are like, yeah, I just want my, you know, my partner to come home, or whoever come home and just like throw me on the bed, like just the basics of it, how would you express it to somebody?
I would just, I mean, communicate. I mean, mm-hmm. as scary as it can be, because I mean, sometimes telling the person that you love, like that weird desire that you don't know why it turns you on, but you just really want to try it, you never know what they're going to say. Just present to them, you know, in a sexy kind of way, and then
how would you do it?
Maybe they'll, I mean, I don't know, I guess if I wanted my boyfriend to try something new, I would probably already start foreplay, like get him excited first, and then while we're in the moment, be kind of like, hey, you know, I have this to try, or what do you think
right,
about this,
like,
while they're
cuffs.
Already mm-hmm. So then it's like they're already in the moment with you, and then you can kind of play off it that way instead of just being like sitting down at the kitchen table and being like, hey, this is a meeting now. So yeah, what would you like
to do? Here's
my
contract.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I want to know also, Ashlyn, are you dating anybody right now?
Yes, I am. I've had the same boyfriend for 7 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So how does he feel about this?
I mean, he, of course, he had his reservations at first when I was auditioning for the role, just because, like any role, there's a part of you that gets in there, you know, and
yeah.
you, all these things. But at the same time, he loved the research.
Yeah, you know?
Right? Like, not gonna lie.
Yeah. Right. He's like, okay.
So, does he hate watching the sex scenes? For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is never fun.
Like, it's never fun. It's never fun just... even watching your partner like in a film when you're having to watch them be intimate with someone else, it's just like, ew, stop, what are you doing, you know?
But, that's cool. He was down. But was there yeah. anything in it that you guys tried that you're like, oh, we might, you know, that kind of is fun, we might do that again?
Yeah, there was a couple things, yeah, that I actually took from set that we'd done in the series.
You can't tell me.
Spoiler.
Oh, spoiler cue. It's so good. Like, I wanted to keep.
Yeah. But yeah, there is some really cool stuff that we did in the, that I didn't expect, that I was like, oh, this is actually
That's actually not bad.
No,
you know,
I know. That's what I like about it. That's how it starts.
That's really how it starts. And honestly,
it starts with just one like little thing, and your whole mind can open up. Yeah, like handcuffs, amazing.
And with and with Michael, he's so open to most things. And I think if when you're in a relationship, and if you never, you know, I had an excuse because I had a series to prepare for, but I honestly think if I had come to him saying like, "Hey, I want to try," blah blah blah, you know, he would have. Honestly, I feel like most men are like, yeah, okay, yeah. Sure. Wait, what do you want to do? Yeah. Like, you know, because I feel like most people, a lot of my girlfriends were very reserved people, right. Especially sexually. It's like you're almost afraid to say what you want.
That's the thing.
And then just, that's why having these movies like 50 Shades, like the Submission series, like it's a great thing.
I can see couples get into it too, hopefully. Yeah. Maybe that, I always tell people like they don't know, because we talk a lot about communication on the show. So I always say, you know, well, listen, a lot of couples actually do. They listen to my show together and they're like, oh, well, Emily said it, or we could try that thing she said. So I think watching Submission as a couple could be like, oh, do you ever think that would turn you on? And then like, yeah, boom, there you go. You're in. Thank you both for this sexy discussion, Ashlyn and Skin.
I'm so excited
to keep watching Showtime. It's called Submission and it's on what nights?
Thursdays
at 11 p.m. East Coast and Pacific time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you have the East Coast feed in LA, it comes on at 8, which is a little bizarro, because you'll be like having dinner and then it's what?
That's cool.
Okay, where can people find you both? Best place to find you?
Instagram or Twitter, honestly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and we'll have that all on the website. So thank you both for being here. I have 5 more questions for you.
Okay.
Quick, rapid fire. Don't even think about them, ready?
Do we answer them one at a time or?
One at a time. So you're just going to go back and forth and answer. Okay, ready? Sex with Emily, top 5 sex questions. Number 1, Skin, biggest turn on?
Confidence.
Ashlyn, biggest turn on?
Humor.
Biggest turn off, Skin?
Bad odors.
Ashlyn?
Overly confident.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Craziest place you've gotten busy, Skin?
It's not fair. Hers is going to be so good.
I know. You should do Ashlyn's first.
Mine's boring. Mine's no. I honestly don't. I don't think I've had sex anywhere besides like a bedroom or a hotel. So I'm so lame. That's why I got actually jumping in.
That's good. Doesn't have to go back and forth.
Oh, I know. So I did a SpongeBob parody porn. So technically, I have had sex in a pineapple under the sea.
No way.
It's amazing.
Girlfriend, miss.
We were.
No way.
Wait,
no
was this SpongeBob Square Nuts?
SpongeBob Square Nuts. Yeah.
Oh my God! We played the theme song for that.
Oh really?
On the morning show that I was on.
I love that.
Yeah.
I was Sandy the squirrel.
SpongeBob Square Nuts.
This is amazing. A pineapple under the sea. No one can.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
That's the craziest place. Come on.
You have to look up the theme song for that.
Okay, that's amazing. Madison's eyes like almost fell off his head. Okay, so that's a good one. Wait, so sexiest word to you? Either one of you can answer either time.
Sexiest word.
Sexiest word.
There's so many words coming to mind. I'm trying to not. Can I say words?
Yes, whatevs.
Take my breath away. Because I'm into breath play, so choke me, basically.
Gotcha.
Oh, ooh. That's so hot.
I know. I can't deal with her.
I'm like thinking of a word. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what.
I don't want to answer there.
I don't want to answer after her.
Me neither.
I'm not going to answer. I'm going to use hers. No. Hers is beautiful. It's just absolutely.
I'll share mine. Mine is I got you lunch.
Ooh.
That's a phrase. That's a sexist word.
Mine was just like, mine's a phrase too. Well, no, it's a word. Employed. Really like that.
What's the one thing you wish you could tell your younger self about sex that you know now?
Don't worry.
Yeah, for sure.
Chill out. Yeah.
Just relax, because
be yourself.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you both for being on the show. This is awesome. This is really fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, guys, listen to me. I know some of you tune out every time you hear me talk about Kegel exercises. Well, guess what? You're making a mistake. Kegel exercises are not just for women. Try something for me now, guys. Tighten up the muscles you'd use if you wanted to stop the flow of urine. Congratulations! You just did a Kegel exercise. And doing these regularly can make an impact on your sex life. Kegel exercises can help you have stronger erections, better stamina, and more intense orgasms. You'll be blown away, literally, by the difference Kegels can make in your life. To make Kegel exercises that much easier to get into, I created Kegel Camp. It's an app that trains you, reminds you, and tracks your progress along the path to Kegels of Steel. And because I know you're competitive, I created 20 levels of intensity for you to work through. So, you up for the challenge, guys? Download Kegel Camp from your iPhone today and tell me about your progress at feedback@sexwithemily.com. You can get Kegel Camp from the iTunes store or by going to sexwithemily.com and clicking on the Kegel Camp banner. See you at camp.